God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Genesis 1. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures, and every living creature with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "To every beast of the earth, and every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that it had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and morning, the sixth day. Dear friends in Christ, many people believe that dinosaurs and that their extinction is so shrouded in mystery that we will never know the truth about where they came from, when they lived, and what happened to them. However, dinosaurs are only a mystery if you accept evolutionary thinking. But if you accept God's word and his creation of all things as the truth, then we have answers for the great dinosaur mystery. According to Genesis 1, God created the great sea creatures, or water dinosaurs, and the bird dinosaurs on day 5, and he created all the beasts of the earth, which would include the land dinosaurs, on day 6. Which means what? Yes, Christians believe in dinosaurs. We just don't believe that they existed millions of years ago or that they evolved by chance. We believe that they were artistically created thousands of years ago by God at the same time that Adam and Eve were created. But if that's the case, then you're saying that humans and dinosaurs lived at the same time, Pastor. Do you have any evidence? Yes. Haven't you ever watched The Flintstones? Just kidding. But biblically, Genesis 1 tells us that the dinosaurs and humans were created on days 5 and 6. But wait, Pastor. Dinosaurs were big and ferocious, and they would have killed or eaten humans. Well, they were big. We find that in the fossil record. But where are you getting your ideas that they were ferocious? You're getting that from Jurassic Park and evolutionary indoctrination. At least originally, they were not ferocious. For suffering and pain, fighting and bloodshed, disease and death didn't enter the world until after Adam and Eve sinned. Before sin entered the world, the Lord tells us that everything was very good, and everyone and everything would have lived together and forever peacefully because there was no sin and death. But even after sin entered the world, humans and dinosaurs may very well have lived together peacefully for a while. Now, how can we say this? Because people were not on the dinosaurs' menu. God's word tells us that originally both humans and animals were vegetarian. Genesis 1 says, "To every beast of the earth, and every bird of the heavens, and everything that creeps on the earth, and everything that has the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food." Now, don't get me wrong. I love eating dead pig, dead cow, and dead chicken as much as anyone. And God said we could eat meat in Genesis 9. But originally, humans and animals were created to be vegetarian, and they would not have killed each other for food. In addition, animals will oftentimes attack and kill when they feel threatened. But again, God's word gives us answers if we'll just seek those answers and not so quickly accept the lies of the evolutionists. Genesis 9 tells us that it was not until after the worldwide flood in Noah's day, and only after the animals came off of the ark, that God put the fear of man into the animals. And it was only then that the Lord gave mankind permission to eat animals. So it's because of sin that we now feed off of the death of plants and animals to live physically. And it's also because of sin that we feed off of the death of God's Son to live spiritually and eternally. But wait a second, Pastor. Is there any evidence in the Bible that humans and dinosaurs lived at the same time other than Genesis 1? As a matter of fact, there is. In Job 40 and 41, the Lord tells Job to look at the behemoth and the leviathan, both of which were present in Job's day. And we believe behemoth to be a land dinosaur and leviathan to be a water dinosaur. But leviathan is also a picture of the devil, and we'll get to that. So why don't you take a look at the handout that you have, and I'll go through the text with you step by step. Let's look closely at the description of these two creatures in Job 40 and 41, which says, "Look at behemoth, which I made along with you." Notice behemoth and humans created at the same time. That backs up Genesis 1. "And which feeds on grass like an ox." Behemoth is vegetarian, just like we said from Genesis 1. "What strength it has in its loins, what power in the muscles of its belly. Its tail sways like a cedar." Some suggest that behemoth is just a hippo or an elephant, but neither a hippo or an elephant have a tail that swings like a cedar tree. The sinews of its thighs are close-knit. Its bones are tubes of bronze. Its limbs are like rods of iron. It ranks first among the works of God." Now, not first in order, because God made many things before the animals, and not first in importance, because humans are made in God's image and are the crown of His creation. When it says it that behemoth ranks first among the works of God, we take that to mean first in size. Yet its maker can approach it with his sword. The hills bring it their produce, and all the wild animals play nearby. All the wild animals play nearby unafraid of the large behemoth. Why? Because the dinosaurs were originally vegetarian and not predatorial meat eaters. Under the lotus plants, it lies hidden among the reeds in the marsh. The lotuses conceal it in their shadow. Now, before you think that it must be something small, lotuses can grow up to 50 feet tall, and poplars by the stream can grow up to 75 feet tall. Easy to hide a huge dinosaur. A raging river does not alarm it. It is secure, though the Jordan should surge against its mouth. Behemoth is so large that even a river at flood stage cannot move it, nor is it afraid. I've seen small rivers at flood stage, and the small rivers I've seen at flood stage, neither a hippo or an elephant could have stood against the raging water. But whatever this is can. So we believe that behemoth is one of the large land dinosaurs. Can anyone capture it by the eyes or trap it and pierce its nose? And next we go to the water dinosaur. Can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook? Now, by the way, you can do that with sharks and whales, but not Leviathan. Must have been larger and more powerful than a whale. Can you tie down its tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through its nose or pierce its jaw with a hook? You can do that with sharks and whales, but not Leviathan. Will it keep begging you for mercy? Will it speak to you with gentle words? Will it make an agreement with you for you to take it as your slave for life? Can you make a pet out of it like a bird? Well, we've done so with whales and sharks at aquariums, but you can't do this with Leviathan. Or put it on a leash for the young women in your house. Will traders barter for it? Will they divide it up among the merchants? Can you fill its hide with harpoons or its head with fishing spears? Once again, you can do that with sharks and whales, but not with Leviathan, the sea dinosaur. If you lay a hand on it, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. Any hope of subduing it is false. The mere sight of it is overpowering. And God is saying that this Leviathan existed while man was already here on earth. No one is fierce enough to rouse it. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. And then he comes back to Leviathan, the sea dinosaur. I will not fail to speak of Leviathan's limbs, its strength, and its graceful form. Who can strip off its outer coat? Who can penetrate its double coat of armor? Who dares open the doors of its mouth, ringed about with fearsome teeth? Its back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. Its snorting throws out flashes of light. Its eyes are like the rays of dawn. Flames stream from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from its nostrils as from a boiling pot over burning reeds. Its breath sets coals ablaze, and flames dart from its mouth. What's the picture God describes of Leviathan? That of a fire-breathing dragon or a fire-breathing dinosaur? Is it possible that many of the dragon legends are the result of real encounters that people originally had with a fire-breathing dinosaur like Leviathan? Strength resides in its neck. Dismay goes before it. The folds of its flesh are tightly joined. They are firm and immovable. Its chest is hard as rock, hard as a lower millstone. When it rises up, the mighty are terrified. They retreat before its thrashing. The sword that reaches it has no effect, nor does the spear or the dart or the javelin. Iron it treats like straw, and bronze like rotten wood. Arrows do not make it flee. Sling stones are like chaff to it. A club seems but a piece of straw, and it laughs at the rattling of the lance. Its undersides are jagged potsherds, leaving a trail in the mud like a threshing sledge. It makes the depths churn like a boiling cauldron, and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. It leaves a glistening wake behind it. One would think the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is its equal, a creature without fear. It looks down on all that are haughty. It is king over all that are proud. But, Pastor, if dinosaurs and humans coexisted, as you say they did, then what happened to them? Well, have you ever heard of Noah's flood? All of the animals, including the dinosaurs, except for two of each kind that Noah took on the ark, and all of the humans, except for Noah and his family, were killed in the cataclysmic event of the flood, which is what laid down and produced most of the fossilized dinosaur bones we find today. Now, don't misunderstand me. While almost all of the animals and humans on planet Earth died in the flood, Noah and his family, and two of each kind of animal, including dinosaurs, survived the flood. So are you telling me that all of the representative kinds of dinosaurs were on the ark? You're exactly right, because that's what God's word says, and we trust God's word over man's word as truth. But how would Noah know to bring every kind of animal onto the ark? Genesis 6 says, The Lord said to Noah, "You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive." God brought the animals to Noah. "You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them." And Noah did everything as the Lord commanded him. So the Bible says Noah did, but well, the Bible says that Noah did that, but he couldn't capture lions and tigers and bears, oh my, much less dinosaurs. Well, Noah didn't have to capture them. Genesis 7 says, "Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah as God had commanded." But how could Noah have fit a T-Rex or a brontosaurus on the ark? Well, did you know that we have found fossilized eggs of T-Rex? And the egg of a T-Rex was about the size of a football, which means that even a T-Rex started out life very small, about the size of a football. And since God was going to repopulate the earth with every kind of animal after the flood, do you think he would have chosen the young and healthy T-Rexes that had many more years to live and have babies? Or would he have chosen the big, fat, old T-Rexes with few years to live and to propagate after the flood? Certainly, he would have chosen the young ones. So how did the dinosaurs and many kinds of animals go extinct? Well, after the floodwaters receded, everything in the post-flood world was very different. You would have had only one male and one female of the representative dinosaur kinds coming off the ark. So if either the male or female died, that kind would go extinct. But in addition to this, Noah's flood brought in great climate change and a great cooling of the poles of the earth. In addition, there was no doubt a food shortage after the animals exited the ark. Furthermore, God now gives permission to Noah and his family and to all humans that they can now eat meat. And because of the curse of sin, animals may also have begun fighting and eating each other just to survive or out of protection. And once they got a taste of blood, their predatorial actions could have resulted in their extinction. But what I really hope you've seen in all this information is that God's word has answers to the questions you and I have if we'll just search and study his word. And if you ever have any questions on creation versus evolution, be sure to go to answersingenesis.org and type in your questions in the search bar, and you'll receive multiple answers and explanations to your questions that are faithful to God's word and scientifically reasonable. We literally do not need evolutionary thinking to explain our world. But the real question for us, as with any sermon, is how is this news that I can use? Our goal is not simply to show you that we can trust God's word, but to see again how the message of God's word impacts our lives. Not only was Leviathan a great sea dinosaur or sea serpent in Job 41, but biblically, Leviathan is also a picture of that great dragon and evil serpent, Satan, who leads the whole world astray and desires to kill us eternally. And the point is this: Hollywood and evolutionists try to teach us that the dinosaurs were terrible creatures to be feared, but that the devil is just make-believe. But the truth is that much of what they tell us about the dinosaurs is make-believe, while the real Leviathan, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, is a very real and ferocious enemy. But just as God rescued Noah and his family, eight souls in all, and all of the animals, from a worldwide cataclysmic flood, so the Lord has rescued us from our evil dragon and foe, that wicked Leviathan called the devil. Isaiah 27 says, In that day the Lord, with his sore, great, and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, that piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So where and when did Jesus slay that satanic dragon and that devilish Leviathan? When Jesus came to this earth as the baby of Bethlehem, 1 John 3 declares, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil. We're then told that Jesus indeed conquered the devilish dragon or monster by his death. Hebrews 2 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also shared in our humanity, so that by his death he might destroy the one who held the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And having defeated our real and fearsome Leviathan, the devil, and upon Jesus' triumphal entry back into heaven at his ascension, we're told what happened to that dragon in Revelation 12, which says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels had to fight against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but they were not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon, that ancient serpent who leads the whole world astray, was cast to the earth, and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser has been hurled down, and we triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, dinosaurs and dragons did exist. Most of them died in the flood, and the rest of them went extinct after the flood. But at least one dragon still exists. He's a defeated and conquered dragon. His maker and lord has chained him and put him on a leash so that he has no more power over us, with the exception that he can still lie, deceive, and growl at us like a mad dog on a chain. But his end is near. Although he will be set free from his leash one more short time before Christ returns to deceive the nations once more, as God sifts the believers from the unbelievers, you and I can and do overcome the devil and evil dragon Leviathan by the blood of the Lamb. Our Leviathan, the devil, hates and is thrown down by the victorious blood of the Lamb, which has won our salvation and given us life, so that you and I will not go extinct like the dinosaurs have, but will rise again together with Christ on the last day. And on that day, it is this one evil dragon, this one satanic Leviathan, that will go forever extinct, when the Lord throws that evil serpent into the lake of fire forever. Those who trust in Jesus will not go extinct, but will survive through the blood of the Lamb. And then, surprise of surprises, Romans 8 says that God is going to make all creation new again. And all creation means all creation. And thus we believe that even the dinosaurs that have gone extinct because of the old satanic foe and our sin will also be made new again. And we believe there will no doubt be dinosaurs and animals in heaven. Life in the new Garden of Eden, the paradise of heaven, will not be like the Flintstones, although we might have a Dino the dinosaur to be a pet, nor will it be fearful like Jurassic Park, but all creation will be restored, including the dinosaurs and all believers, and we will live with our loving Creator, our saving Redeemer, and our comforting Spirit in a paradise that even Hollywood can't imagine or produce. And don't be surprised if you and your children get to play with and ride on dinosaurs completely without fear, for there will be no more pain, suffering, or death there, only life and life to the fullest, all in Jesus. Amen.